Happy Tuesday,
Love
everyone.
Talk Radio.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. This is Erica Evans, your instructor for pharmacology. Today we're going to discuss concepts in Chapter 6, going over drugs affecting the sympathetic nervous system.
Okay, did you get him the
message? Just a moment.
Thank you for calling Gwinnett County Government. Please remain on the line. Someone will be with you shortly. Gwinnett County Transit Route 40 brings you to the Gwinnett Justice and Administration Center in Lawrenceville. To find a complete list of bus routes, visit gctransit.com. Did you know you can find out if someone has a court date by contacting the clerk of court at 770-822-8100? Save money and time. Pay your water bill online at GwinnettH2O.com. Looking for information about building permits? Call Planning and Development at 678-518-6000. Are you new to Gwinnett County and need to start your trash and recycling service? Visit SustainableGwinnett.com to find your hauler and get information about the county's solid waste plan. Do you need to obtain a marriage, birth, or death certificate? Check out GwinnettCourts.com to learn how to obtain these documents. Find property tax and car tag information at GwinnettTaxCommissioner.com. Thank you for calling Gwinnett County Government. Please remain on the line. Someone will be with you shortly. Looking for information about courts? Visit GwinnettCourts.com. The Gwinnett Justice and Administration Center is located at 75 Langley Drive in Lawrenceville. This is where you will find the Gwinnett County Board of Commissioners, Superior, State, Probate, and Magistrate Courts, District Attorney, Tax Commissioner, the Transportation and Community Services Departments, along with human resources and other support departments. Need to reach Water Resources customer service? Contact them at 678-376-6800.
I do apologize, students. I had an emergency. Sorry about that. I happen to be in the clinic today, so sometimes things happen even when you're scheduled to be doing something else. Anyway, today we're going to go over drugs affecting the sympathetic nervous system, okay? The key terms for Chapter 6 are going to be adrenergic neuronal blocker, alpha adrenergic blocker, alpha adrenergic receptor, acetylcholine, false transmitter, negative beta adrenergic blocker. The objectives for this chapter, you can find them on page 57. And after, what I want to get from this chapter, basically what I want you guys to get, is to be able to explain how the adrenergic nerve endings function both to release and inactivate norepinephrine. I want you to be able to name the different receptors, and I want you to be able to explain the effects of norepinephrine and epinephrine on the alpha and the beta receptors. Alpha and beta receptors are going to be really critical when you're trying to understand the concepts in your respiratory system and the concepts of your cardiovascular system, okay? Remember, those two catecholines, norepinephrine and epinephrine, those are the things that are released, or adrenaline, that are released during our fight or flight response. We talked about the fight or flight response and when we discussed the autonomic nervous system. The sympathetic nervous system regulates the activity of the internal organs and glands during physical exertion and other stressful situations. Peripheral sympathetic nerves, known as adrenergic nerves, release the neurotransmitter norepinephrine. Norepinephrine binds to its adrenergic receptors and produces the effects that are associated with the sympathetic stimulation, fight or flight. Remember we said we talked about that in Chapter 5. The adrenal medulla releases the hormone epinephrine, which also stimulates the adrenergic receptors. Adrenaline or epinephrine is released from the adrenal medulla in larger amounts during distress and emergency situations. Norepinephrine and epinephrine are chemically similar and are generally referred to as acetylcholines. In the nerve endings, as you see illustrated on Figure 6-1, you have the illustration showing the release and reuptake and metabolism of norepinephrine. You have the pathways and the junctions that are in between two nerve endings. And remember, signals come from the body to the brain, and the brain sends the response back down the efferent pathway. Remember, we talked about the afferent and the efferent pathway. It is important to have an understanding of how the adrenergic nerve endings function. The nerve endings are mainly concerned with the formation of norepinephrine. Norepinephrine is then stored within granules inside the nerve endings. When the adrenergic nerves are stimulated, norepinephrine is released. Norepinephrine then travels to the smooth or cardiac muscle membrane and then attaches to the adrenergic receptors and produces the sympathetic response. Most of the norepinephrine then passes back into the nerve endings. Inside the nerve endings, the norepinephrine may be reused or may be destroyed by the enzyme monoamine oxidase. These actions are illustrated on Figure 6-1. So I want you to be familiar with the different receptors, remember, and the organ, and then the response of the drug or the catecholamine on the different organ. For example, the first one you have here, you have an alpha receptor, which are located on the smooth muscles. So the alpha receptor, contraction of smooth muscles, the organs where smooth muscles are located are most arteries and veins and pupils of the eye. Now, the effect that norepinephrine has is vasoconstriction, and the effect of epinephrine is also vasoconstriction for the arteries. For the pupils, it causes dilation. Remember we said in the fight or flight response when those chemicals are released or the catecholamines are released, the epinephrine are released, the adrenaline is released, that in our fight or flight response, the blood flow is going to go to those organ systems that we need most. In our flight or right flight response, it is assumed that you will be needing your eyes to see, okay, and to you know, get a better look at what you're doing or, you know, where you're going or whatever. So it will cause dilation of the eyes. So that causes the pupils to get bigger so you can have a wider view. As you can see here, beta receptors on the cardiac muscle of the heart. The effects of norepinephrine causes a moderate increase in heart rate, force of contraction, and atrioventricular conduction. The effects of epinephrine, you have a greater increase in heart rate, force of contraction, and atrioventricular conduction. You'll notice that during a cardiac cold, epinephrine is one of the number one drugs that are used in cardiovascular arrest, because in cardiovascular arrest, your heart has stopped pumping, so they need the epinephrine to have a greater heart rate and to make the heart contract, basically. Excuse me. So let's discuss the two main receptors you have, the two main adrenergic receptors you have. You have the alpha and you have beta. Alpha receptors, the alpha adrenergic receptors are found mainly on smooth muscle. whereas the beta receptors or the beta adrenergic receptors are found mainly on both cardiac and smooth muscle. Okay? Now, excuse me. The two main adrenergic receptors are known as the alpha and the beta adrenergic receptors. Although some organs contain more than one type of receptor, one receptor type usually predominates and determines the overall response of the organ. The alpha adrenergic receptors are found predominantly on smooth muscle membranes, and when stimulated by norepinephrine or epinephrine, they produce contraction. For example, vasoconstriction of blood vessels. Excuse me. Then you have the beta adrenergic receptors, which are found on both cardiac and some smooth muscles. In the heart, the predominant beta receptor is classified as beta 1 receptors, and when stimulated by norepinephrine and epinephrine, they increase the heart rate and force contraction. In smooth muscle, they predominate beta receptors are classified as beta 2 receptors, and when stimulated by epinephrine, they produce vasodilation, mainly skeletal muscle, blood vessels, and coronary arteries, and bronchodilation, relaxation of bronchiolar smooth muscles. So you have beta antagonist drugs like albuterol that help relax smooth muscles, therefore allow you to breathe better. Norepinephrine does not stimulate beta 2 receptors, and this is the main difference between norepinephrine and epinephrine. Note that alpha receptor stimulation causes smooth muscle contraction at some organ sites, while beta 2 receptor stimulation causes smooth relaxation at other organ sites. If you refer back to Table 6.1, you'll see the effects that norepinephrine and epinephrine have both on beta and alpha receptors or smooth or cardiac muscle, or cardiac vessels, I should say. I want you to turn now to the table on page 60, Table 6.2. Table 6.2 and Table 6.3, you'll find 2 to 3 drugs that you'll find most often in your practice. A lot of people use these, especially the ones on Table 6.2, because most of those drugs can be found, four of those drugs can be found over the counter. And in Table 6.3, when we talked about relaxation of smooth muscles that are the beta agonist receptors, of the respiratory system, albuterol is the medication that's most likely used there, and it's a bronchodilator because it opens up the air passages and causes those muscles to relax, so therefore you can breathe better. The medications in Table 6.2, these are the alpha adrenergic drugs. So that means they work on the alpha receptors. Let's see, the most popular of those would probably be ephedrine or phenylephrine or pseudoephedrine, because those are your nasal decongestants. They are found all over the counter. They come in sprays, they come in tablets, they come in drops, they come in capsules, they come in liquid, and so they are meant to, they're decongestants, so they reduce vasoconstriction, okay? Vasoconstriction basically meaning when you have swelling and stuff in your nasal passages, that swelling causes reduced airflow, right? Because your nasal passages are only so big, so when the mucous membranes of your nasal passages become swollen or irritated, they swell. And when something swells, it takes up more space, right? So if it's taking up more space, that means the nasal cavity has reduced volume or reduced space. Therefore, air cannot travel as freely as it would if you were not congested. So the use or the effect, the drug effect that you want to get from a medication like that is to decrease the swelling in those tissues, allowing air to pass more freely. So let's go over the clinical indications for the alpha adrenergic drugs. The alpha drugs are used usually intravenously in hypotensive states, for example, after surgery to increase blood pressure and maintain circulation. Vasoconstriction of blood vessels and mucous membranes of the nasal sinuses produces a decongestant effect. So they're swollen, so if you constrict the swelling or you squeeze it, make it smaller, vasoconstriction of the blood vessels and the mucous membranes of the nasal sinuses produce a decongestant effect. Consequently, some of these drugs are included over-the-counter, code and allergy preparations for relief of nasal congestion. A few of the alpha drugs are also used in ophthalmology to dilate the pupils and as ocular decongestants. Alpha drugs that pass the blood-brain barrier, for example, amphetamines, produce a central effect to suppress appetite. These drugs and other appetite suppressants will be discussed later in Chapter 33. We won't be discussing those. Again, Table 6.2 lists the alpha adrenergic drugs and their uses. Now, some major adverse effects of the alpha adrenergic drugs are due to excessive vasoconstriction of the blood vessel. This may result in hypertension, hypertensive crisis, and heart palpitations. In some patients, this can lead to either hemorrhage, usually cerebral, or to cardiac arrhythmias. Consequently, extreme caution must be observed with hypertensive or cardiac patients. Patients receiving parenteral administration of these drugs should have blood pressure recordings taken at frequent intervals. The most common side effect of a decongestant use is irritation of the nasal sinuses or eyes due to excessive dryness caused by vasoconstrictive decrease in blood flow. So have you ever heard the term of rebound nasal congestion? That can happen after too much administration of a product called Afrin. It can also happen after too much administration of a product called Sudafed. What happens is that you have your initial congestion, you take the decongestants, they give you some relief, but overuse of those products, meaning too much of that medication, can cause rebound congestion or rebound vasoconstriction, which basically means your congestion will be worse than what it was the first time. Let's move on to the beta adrenergic drugs. The beta adrenergic drugs have a selective action to combine with beta receptors. With the exception of epinephrine, most beta drugs produce very few alpha effects. The most important actions of the beta drugs are stimulation of the heart and bronchodilation of the lungs. Isoproterenol is the most potent beta adrenergic drug that produces both of these effects. This dual action, heart and respiratory passages, is the main disadvantage of isoproterenol in treating bronchoconstriction caused by asthma or allergy. With this drug, there is often overstimulation of the heart along with a bronchodilator effect. That's why you notice that with some bronchodilators, you have an increased heart rate, such as patients who use albuterol. One thing we tell parents is when we give their kid an albuterol treatment is that you may find that your child will begin bouncing off the walls, and that's because of the increased heart rate that it produces. So it's a bronchodilator, but it also stimulates heart contraction or heart rate and increases heart rate. So you'll find when you do vital signs after breathing treatment, you'll find that the heart rate is often increased, which is a normal side effect of using a bronchodilator. I was going to say, let's look at the clinical indications for epinephrine. Epinephrine is the drug of choice for immediate treatment of acute allergic reactions such as anaphylaxis. Anaphylaxis can be caused by insect stings, drugs, or other allergens in sensitized individuals. There is difficulty in breathing, decreased blood pressure, and other symptoms of shock. In these situations, epinephrine stimulates both alpha and beta receptors. Administered by subcutaneous injection is the preferred treatment. The alpha actions of epinephrine are also used during surgical procedures or in combination with local anesthetics to produce vasoconstriction. The alpha effect decreases blood flow and bleeding and prolongs the action of local anesthetics at the site of injection. The beta effects of epinephrine are useful for cardiac stimulation, beta 1 receptors, in emergencies such as cardiac arrest, which we already talked about, and for bronchodilation, beta 2, in the treatment of asthma. Both epi and isoproterenol are available as over-the-counter bronchodilators. I want you to become familiar with that paragraph because we mentioned that you almost likely see these catecholamines of norepinephrine and epinephrine in emergency situations, as the book mentioned, cardiac arrest. So you need cardiac stimulation and bronchodilation in the treatment of asthma. I want you guys to go ahead and log on to your computer, and I want you to listen to a short video on, it should be called the use of epinephrine and norepinephrine. And basically, we talked about it being used in the emergency situations such as anaphylaxis or allergic reaction or shock like cardiac arrest, okay? Just one moment. I'm going to try to play this video for you. I'm hoping it works. Just one moment. Oh, just one moment. I didn't have the volume up.
I'm sure you know the frequency and the severity of anaphylaxis are increasing around the world. But there really is very little hard data to explain why that's occurring. There is evidence, however, that anaphylaxis is frequently not recognized and also that anaphylaxis is significantly undertreated with epinephrine. And we'll talk about each of those as we go along. What I'd like to do in talking about anaphylaxis, and I'll be trying throughout this to bring in epinephrine and the role it plays. I want to talk about the definition, something about fatal anaphylaxis, the differential diagnosis, management, epinephrine in terms of other considerations as well as the treatment of anaphylaxis, and the special causes of anaphylaxis that may go unrecognized and hence may cause some of the underuse of epinephrine. If you look at any textbook, it's going to tell you that anaphylaxis is characterized by cutaneous manifestations, urticaria, angioedema, itching, flushing, manifestations like that, as well as upper and or lower respiratory manifestations, hypotension, abdominal or GI manifestations, and sometimes most common types of manifestations. But if you look at recent reviews of this, such as the Brighton collaboration, they emphasize that anaphylaxis can only be defined if you have involvement of two or more organ systems. But I'm going to try to challenge that as we go through this presentation. Now, if you ask physicians to define anaphylaxis, they usually say, well, of course I know what anaphylaxis is. I was thought about anaphylaxis, I see it, I know how to treat it, et cetera. But in fact, when you get down to trying to define it, it can be much more difficult than it would appear at first glance. And that's one of the reasons why 8 years ago now, there was a meeting of experts on anaphylaxis from around the world at the NIH. That was also driven by the fact...
Okay. So this anaphylaxis, okay, so we talked about the emergent situations that you would most likely use these catecholamines in, epinephrine and norepinephrine, and they are in cases of anaphylaxis, okay? Anaphylaxis is basically the acute onset of a reaction with involvement of the skin, mucosal tissue, or both. At least one of the following, respiratory compromise or reduced blood pressure or symptoms of in-organ dysfunction. Also, two or more of the following, involvement of the skin or mucosal tissue, respiratory compromise, reduced blood pressure, or persistent GI symptoms. Also, the reduced in blood pressure after exposure to the known. So I want you guys to watch these videos on anaphylaxis and the use of epinephrine, okay? And I want you to become familiar. I'm going to post some videos on anaphylaxis and also the use of an asthma emergency, okay? So you guys can understand how these drugs are used. That's what I want you to get from this chapter, all right? What I want you to do, the code word for today is going to be shock. And I want you guys to do the chapter review. Do the chapter review questions 1 through 9 on page 67 and questions 1 through 5 on page 67. Thank you. See you next time.